Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. As the American economy continues to struggle, a growing number of people are seeking ways to save on household expenses. One way is collecting and redeeming coupons when they shop for goods and services. Coupons have been around for 125 years. This week, we take a look at the current trends in couponing in the United States. And later, we learn about an artist who carves eggshells and also a popular kind of yoga that has people hanging upside down.
Laura Harders does her family's grocery shopping on Fridays. She arrives at the store with a shopping list and coupons.
I try to plan out my shopping, not just for groceries, but other items, based on the sales that are available and also the coupons.
Ms. Harders started using coupons about 6 years ago, when she was expecting her first baby. She was planning to quit her job and needed to find a way the family could live on one income.
So instead of having to go back to work, I was able to stay at home and almost bring out an income just by the amount I was able to save.
By using coupons, Ms. Harders is usually able to cut her grocery bill in half. But on this day, she saved even more.
Before the sale price and before coupons, my total went up to about $80. After coupons and the sale items, I brought it down to about $20.
She collects coupons from different places.
Most of my coupons I get from the Sunday newspaper inserts. I also get a lot of coupons online. There's credible sites such as coupons.com, smartsource.com, and others, as well as manufacturer websites.
But not all shoppers use coupons. Mariam Cindy does not even like the idea.
I think it's really time-consuming. And a lot of times I find that if I do find a coupon, for example, if it comes with a cereal box, I'll leave it there and then I'll forget about it. And by the time I remember, it's already expired.
But clipping coupons does not have to be time-consuming, Ms. Harders explains in the workshops she leads on coupon shopping.
The first coupons were given out in 1887 in Atlanta, Georgia. They were given out by a man who wanted to build excitement and influence customers to try a new beverage, Coca-Cola. 125 years later, that is still why businesses issue coupons. What has changed, says marketing consultant Ferris Kaplan, is the way they are issued.
More young people are actually using coupons because it goes right to their cell phone. And then when they go to their store of their choice, they walk into the store and they're automatically sent coupons, or they can quickly find coupons and use while they're right there without a printer, without paper, without having to look at a newspaper.
The website Certificate creates digital coupons for more than 1,000 businesses and emails them to about 55,000 customers. Certificate founder Jamie Ratner also profiles one of the businesses each day.
You're the star for that one day in those people's emails. So they're reading about you, learning about your business, and then having the opportunity to purchase the coupon.
With more young people going online to find deals and save money in this tough economy, Jamie Ratner expects digital coupon services to expand in the future. You can see a video about couponing on our website, voaspecialenglish.com.
It is common to paint or dye eggs, especially during the Christian Easter observance. but few people have ever seen carved eggshells. These have no relationship to eggs that are painted or decorated with gems or other jewels, like Fabergé's famous eggs, which were not actual eggs. Carving and sculpting eggshells with a dental drill and sanding disc is not a job for the heavy-handed. For Washington-area artist Tina Canapel, it is a passion.
Because an eggshell is a continuous arch, it has a lot of natural strength. You'll see eggshells where I've taken out so much that it looks like lace. And the whole trick to that is having regular connections between the different pieces of the lace so the eggshell stays intact.
Tina Canapel carves, sculpts, and sells about 1,600 eggshells a year. She buys infertile eggs that have already been emptied from bird breeders.
The ostrich eggshell is very hard. It's like china.
She uses all kinds of eggs, including emu, goose, pheasant, and parrot eggs. The process begins with designs printed on paper and then glued to the eggshell.
You need the paper to stabilize the face of the eggshell, so if you're going to have to carve through paper, you may as well have your design on the paper.
Eggshells have hard and soft spots. The paper reduces the chance of chipping.
Ms. Canapel has more than 300 designs that include animals, portraits, and geometric forms. But whatever the design, carving always has to start at the most difficult part of it. So if the eggshell breaks, hours have not been lost.
When you're working with cats and dogs and human beings, the most difficult thing is the eyes, so you always start with the eyes. Because if you mess up the eyes, you've messed up the design.
As Ms. Canapel works, her three Abyssinian cats keep her company.
They'll walk all around the carved eggshells, and they don't bother them at all. In fact, he's loving them.
Once the carving is finished, the eggshell is cleaned, first in warm water to release the paper, and then in bleach.
What the bleach does is it eats all of the organic material in the eggshell, and when it's completely sterilized, there won't be any bubbles come up.
In the historic town of Occoquan, near Washington, D.C., the Artists' Undertaking Gallery includes some of Ms. Canapel's carved eggshells. An egg with a heron on it looks painted, but there is no paint. The colors emerged during the carving.
This is an emu eggshell. It has three layers. The outside is such a dark green, it looks black. The layer underneath that is teal or blue, and the layer underneath that is a paper-thin white, and I carved between the three layers.
Ms. Canapel's eggshells cost between $30 and $400 a piece. Insurance against cracking is not included. You can watch Ms. Canapel in action on our website, voaspecialenglish.com.
A growing number of health clubs around the world offer exercise that allows people to stretch and strengthen their bodies while hanging in the air, often upside down. It is called anti-gravity yoga. VOA visited a workout studio in Los Angeles, California, to see what the exercise is all about.
Bring your wrists down and reach your toes.
The image of students hanging upside down on hammocks made of silk cloth connected to the ceiling looks more like acrobatics than yoga. Marie Bice is a student of anti-gravity yoga.
When I first saw people hanging upside down from hammocks and calling it yoga, I kind of thought they were crazy. But it ended up being a lot of fun and just the swinging, and it felt very playful.
Ms. Bice says anti-gravity yoga is not all play. It is also hard work with benefits.
I don't have a lot of flexibility in my back, and doing this work has really helped with that.
Instructor Heather Blair says hanging upside down helps the body in a way that regular yoga does not offer.
You actually have spinal decompression, so when you're upside down, your vertebrae actually open up so that the space in between the vertebrae opens naturally and gently.
Ms. Blair says when Belief Fitness Studio first started offering anti-gravity classes over a year ago, people became interested very quickly.
You literally could be of any fitness level. You can have injuries. It doesn't matter how old you are. Anyone can take the class. So it's been a huge draw for us.
Anti-gravity yoga creator Christopher Harrison is a dancer, choreographer, and gymnast.
I created it so even my mother can do it.
Mr. Harrison first created this form of yoga for athletes. He made some changes and started teaching it to the public in the United States in 2009. Since then, it has gained international attention. Several countries, including China, Indonesia, Russia, and Brazil, now offer anti-gravity yoga classes.
Anti-gravity yoga is a combination of Pilates, a little bit of yoga, aerial arts, and suspension training. So it's not just yoga.
The fusion of stretch and strengthening exercises allows students to achieve movements that traditional yoga does not have. They include flying while suspended on the hammock and using the hammock to hang like a bat. It is also more of a cardiovascular workout than first-time student Chris Meyerhans expected.
I had no idea that it was that much work.
But creator Christopher Harrison says the yoga philosophy is still at the core of this workout.
You can expect still to be studying yoga because it is a practice of awareness of body, mind, and spirit.
Like traditional yoga, each class ends with meditation. But in anti-gravity yoga, meditating means resting in the air while cocooned in a hammock.
Our program was produced by Brianna Blake, with reporting by Faiza El-Masri, Zulima Palacio, and Elizabeth Lee. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. You can find videos about today's program on our website, voaspecialenglish.com. You can also find transcripts and MP3s of our programs, along with podcasts and activities for learning English. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.